Well, you may have heard the news story of the 5-year-old boy who was caught driving his parents' SUV on Interstate 15 in the state of Utah. Officer reported that the child's feet could barely reach the pedals. I am still appalled how a 5-year-old could get in his parents' SUV and actually drive it. I mean, you think about it, actually drive it. He maybe even know how to drive it. Well, the boy told the officer that he was heading to California to buy a Lamborghini. The story gets even crazier. But the problem, well, one of the many problems is he only had $3 in his pocket. Now, you and I know $3 hardly buys anything nowadays, let alone a Lamborghini. But my question is, where were his parents? You know, I mean, there's some missing connection here, some missing link. But I'm thinking, well, why weren't they aware of what their son was doing? You know, he was not only a danger to himself, but a danger to all the other drivers. He was an accident waiting to happen. Well, we can know that our Heavenly Father never sleeps. He never loses sight of his children. He is always completely aware of where we are and what we're doing. He knows the dangers we face. And he wants to protect us. He wants to provide for us, not a Lamborghini, but our daily spiritual and physical needs. And he desires we look to him in prayer for these needs to be met. And this prayerful, loving relationship will be our focus tonight. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. And this is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer. And let me begin before we're going to quote this prayer. And if you want to quote it with me, please feel free to do so. But our Lord declared in John chapter 14 in his upper room discourse that he hath seen me, hath seen the Father, which tells us when through eyes of faith we come to know Jesus as our Savior, we thereafter are blessed with the reality that God the Father becomes our Heavenly Father. And what an awesome Father he is. And the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapter 6, not only speaks to the unspeakable, marvelous truth that when Jesus is our Savior, we have a Father in heaven, but it details what our communication with him can and should be like. We can communicate with our Father in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we find 3 points in this prayer. And the first point in our prayer that we just quoted, in our communication, our communion with our Father, is the recognition of our Father. The recognition of our Father. We rightly acknowledge who our Father is. So who is our Heavenly Father who is in heaven? Well, our Heavenly Father, our Abba Father, is the one who, with incomparable wisdom and power, has created everything that exists. Our Heavenly Father has created the worlds and everything that surrounds the world. And he is our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is the one who, in magnificent love, ordained and planned our redemption, which meant At the right moment of time, his son came to this earth to live, to die, and then to rise again, so that we will not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. Why? So that we might live eternally. Pastor Beck talked about having eternity placed in our hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a heavenly Father who has sent his son so that he might become the one that fills our hearts. Again, he is our heavenly Father. Our heavenly Father is the one who never needs a teacher or a counselor, who knows all the stars by name, who knows the number of hairs on our head, who holds the whole world in the palm of his hand. Wow, he's our heavenly Father. He is our heavenly Father. Our heavenly Father is the one who loves us with a pure, faithful, forgiving, fatherly love. Again, he is our heavenly Father. Our heavenly Father is the one who never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is always with us. He is always watching over us. His eye is on the sparrow, we sing, and I know he watches me. His heart is always bent toward us, and he is always there to lift our burdens and lighten our load. He is our heavenly Father. On him we can cast our burdens, for we know that he cares for us. But more than even being our heavenly Father, he is our friend. You know, when your father becomes your friend as well, that is very special. When your father becomes your friend, that is special. And so again, the Heavenly Father, yes, is our Father, but he's also our friend to whom we can prayerfully make our requests. Which brings us to our second point this evening, and that is the requests to our Father. We've said who our Father is, but now what can we pray to our Father? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, the prayer that we just quoted, we have 6 specific petitions. And the first 2 are in regard to his plan. Thy kingdom come. Father, bring to pass your covenant promises, and then thy will be done. Conform my will, Father, to your will. Bring to pass, Father, in my life, your very nature and purpose. The point here is we pray for God's plan to be fulfilled in us. That's a good place to start your prayer. Amen. Lord, your will be done. And then the third request regards his provision. And we see in verse 11, we are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Bring to pass the daily manna that is sufficient for my needs today. In fact, the Greek word for daily means that which is sufficient. We are to believe that our Heavenly Father wants to provide for us, the ones that he loves, everything we need, our daily bread. My son, Anthony, called yesterday and said that his car wouldn't start. And he didn't for sure know what was going on. We found out that it was a starter. And so that was repaired, and it's drivable once again. But I said, well, I'll help with the expense, not knowing what the expense would be. I guess I was walking by faith and not by sight. You know, when you start talking about helping your son pay for his car repairs, you know, you're not for sure what you're going to end up having to pay. But why did I do that? Why did I respond in that way? Because I love him. I care for him. That is a father's heart. Now you think if I would respond that way to Anthony, and I have an imperfect love, what about the perfect love that our Heavenly Father has for us? Don't you think he cares that we are provided for? Absolutely. And then request number 4 regards our Heavenly Father's pardon. And we see in verse 12 that we are to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Why the word debtors? Why the word debt? Well, since sin is a spiritual debt to God, we can pray for our sin debts to be forgiven through Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And I say, what love? Our sin debt is even larger than the national debt. And yet Jesus has paid it all in full. And we can therefore pray to our Heavenly Father, "Lord, you forgive me of my sin," knowing that that debt has been paid. And then the 5th and 6th requests are in regard to our spiritual preservation. Verse 13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, rescue me from all the evil, tempting ways that surround me." He understands that sinful temptations are in the air we breathe. They're everywhere. And so again, what requests we can bring to our Heavenly Father, supplications for his plan, for his provisions, for his pardon, for his preservation. As I look at those petitions, I mean, that covers life. Amen? When you think of his plan, when you think of his pardon, when you think of his provisions, when you think of his preservation of us as children, that's what we pray for. Which certainly brings us to our last point, and that is respect for our Heavenly Father, which we see in verses 9 and 11. And should we not respect such a Heavenly Father? Verse 9, "Hallowed be thy name." And here is our desire for God's fame to be revered. Now, do we see that today? No, we don't see God's name being honored today. We see God's name being used in vain today. But remember, our Heavenly Father's name is the expression of his very essence. And so, when we say, "Hallowed Lord, hallowed Father be your name," we say, "Lord, I acknowledge that you and you alone are God." You know, when we use his name in vain, we are acknowledging, Lord, that you are not God. No wonder God says, "Do not take my name in vain." When we use it in vain, we are acknowledging you are not God. When we hallow his name, we are saying, "Lord, you and you alone are God. And might my recognition of your grandeur and your glory shape and direct everything in my life to the point that I am to the praise of your glory. I say, might each of us live for a glory greater than ourselves." And then verse 13, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And here is a liturgical interpolation from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. And certainly our Heavenly Father deserves this doxology of praise. He deserves our respect, for it expresses the certain hope that our prayer, filled with requests, will be heard and answered because of the recognition of his great character, which brings to pass his highest good in our lives. And I say, amen and amen. What a wonderful Heavenly Father we have because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which gives us hope in our present time, in this great time of need, that He gives us the hope and the assurance that we need. I love this song. My Heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know He cares for me. On mountain steep or on the rolling sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My Heavenly Father watches over me. Friends, when Jesus is your Savior, you have a Father in heaven who lovingly is watching over you. I hope that's an encouragement to your heart. We need to know that our Father in heaven is caring for you and for me.